You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. First Saturday of October, and what a glorious day it's been here in Memphis, Tennessee. It's October the 4th, getting ready for the fall season. Took my daughter pumpkin picking today and had a great time doing that. And now here with my extended family at the radio program. And, folks, I want to get the show started by quickly saying, and we've got a busy show tonight. We've got a lot of important things to talk about, but I want to say at the top of the program, as we get started this evening, that, and I wrote this on the website as well, but it is true that I've never been more proud to be associated with this broadcast. Just 10 days ago, we were coming around the bend for the home stretch of our third quarter fundraising drive, and it looked as though we were going to fall well short of the goal that is needed to be met to attain our operating budget for the next fiscal quarter. We had about 10 days to go, and we were right at about 50% of earned what is needed. And a week and a half later, we more than cleared the hurdle with a little room to spare. And it was one of the most inspired rallies that our audience has ever mustered. And that's saying a lot, you know, having done this for 10 years. But, and of course, you know, at the end of the day, we're not talking about a lot of money, but it's a lot of money to us. And I know it's a lot of money to you, and it's enough to keep us going. And I thank you for giving us the continued opportunity to serve as your voice on the airwaves. Our work is needed now more than ever before, and I truly believe that. With black-on-white violence raging across America and the basic civil rights, just fundamental human freedoms of our people being threatened both here and abroad. And we're going to be talking about that extensively during tonight's program. What am I talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you. But with those two things occurring, the service that we provide as an unapologetic beacon for light and truth and common sense has never been more needed. We got a great show for you tonight. I want to quickly go to the mailbag as I continue to set the table here in this, our first segment. You know, we like to read a sampling of mail that comes in each week, and we take a lot of pride, obviously, in knowing that we have listeners across the country and around the world, but this is a Memphis, Tennessee-based show, and it's a show based here in the South. And I got a couple of handwritten notes from young men in the South this week that just were really moving, and I'd like to read them. This one reads, "Dear James and the gang, I'm a 22-year-old history and pre-law student in Georgia. I've been listening to your show for over a year now, and I can say that it gives me great comfort knowing that there's a voice on the radio out there that isn't afraid to stand for the truth. We need more Southern men and women who are willing to take a stand for principle, heritage, and God. I'm originally from North Central Florida. My buddy and I decided to send in a donation. Thank you. God bless Dixie, and may she once again retain her stand among the nations." And that comes from Marshall in Georgia, a college student there, and Marshall sent in $25. And those are the kind of donations that sustain our work, folks. It's the truth. His friend also sent in a note. "Dear James, my name is Ben, and I'm from the great state of Georgia. I love y'all's show and look forward to it eagerly each week. I'm a sophomore here at the local school, and I've listened to your show for over a year now. I donated $25 to support the fight for our people. God bless y'all for being role models for us younger guys. God save the South." And God bless y'all, Ben and Marshall and George, and for everyone else who contributed to the show last month, and for everyone else who didn't, but listens to this show and supports us with your prayers and moral support. It all adds up, folks, and we're happy to be able to continue to do what we do based upon the ringing endorsement from those whose behalf we seek to advocate. And as I said, that advocacy is something that is absolutely needed in these dark days. We will be attempting to connect with Paul Fromm. Paul Fromm is, of course, a very celebrated defender of the freedom of expression, the freedom of speech, the freedom of thought. He is well known in Canada for his work on these issues. And Paul Fromm is in Budapest, Hungary tonight. He was there to attend the NPI conference in Budapest. It was called the European Conference. It was a meeting of academics and scholars there to exchange ideas and to meet and to think and to talk. And the prime minister of Hungary shut down their conference. Now, I want you to think about this, folks. The prime minister of Hungary is forbidding men of the West from the United States of America and certainly from all points of Europe to meet in their own nations to exchange ideas. Of course, he did it under the ridiculous, ridiculous accusation that this was some sort of a hate group. But if I know the people that are the organizers of this event. Richard Spencer, the head of the National Policy Institute, is one of the most mild-mannered and well-behaved men I have ever met. And Bill Regnery of the Regnery Publishing Empire, you know, Regnery Books, the conservative publishing outfit, published Buchanan's books and Coulter's and so many more. Bill Regnery of Regnery Publishing, he was arrested upon his attempt to enter Hungary and expelled from the country. We have it on eyewitness testimony that Richard Spencer was arrested by Hungarian police. Now, listen to what I'm saying here, ladies and gentlemen. Arrested by Hungarian police while he was having a private dinner in Hungary last night. Whether or not he is still detained, we don't know. We will try to find out those answers from Paul Fromm if we are able to connect with him in Hungary, if Paul Fromm is not in shackles himself right now. These men broke no laws, of Hungary or otherwise. Of Hungary, of the European Union, they broke no laws whatsoever. But because they had ideas that the establishment didn't like, they are suffering oppression, the likes of which any other person, any other racial group, would be up in arms over, and we should be as well. And if this had happened to any other group, if this has happened to a group of homosexuals, or a group of Muslims, or a group of Jews, or a group of blacks, or a group of women, the international media would be all over it. Men being arrested for no other reason than for having ideas that aren't sanctioned by the ruling elite. That is what is happening today, this weekend in Europe. It has happened. It is happening as we speak. We don't know to the extent of how these men will be punished, but I have it on good authority that Richard Spencer went to jail as a hero. You know, for someone willing to go to jail, to be jailed in a foreign country because he wouldn't renounce his beliefs, that is a true hero. And we're going to find out from Paul Fromm, we hope, exactly what happened, if we can connect to Paul during this commercial break. And we will attempt to do that. If we cannot connect with Paul, we will try to sort this out. Sam Dixon, who was not at the conference but is well aware of what's going on, will be joining us at the top of the second hour. But this shows how dark the times are, that you cannot meet and engage in basic freedoms of renting a hotel room, of having free assembly, of having free thought. You know, and these guys, you know, they weren't there to meet, to brainstorm about ideas, how they could oppress other racial groups. No, they were there to celebrate their own identity, to take pride in who they are. They were arrested for it, ladies and gentlemen. I want that to sink in your mind. This is the oppression that whites and only whites face in the year 2014. We'll be back.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so. C-U-R-T. That's Kurt. C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. So welcome back to the show. Paul Fromm has not yet connected. I talked with Paul earlier today. Paul Fromm may very well be in jail, too. I mean, this is how serious it is. It has been proven, as I said, here in America, now and abroad, that white people no longer have the right to assemble, speak, think, or even rent a hotel room. Once this so-called politically incorrect gathering of heretics, and this is no different than the Salem witch trials or any other example from history from which you want to draw, oppressing people, discriminating against people based upon their ideas. And like I said, I mean, even if this was... even if the most outrageous caricature was true, let's just say this was a meeting of white supremacists. Well, I know the laws in Europe are different than here in America with regards to freedom of speech, but I mean, it wasn't that at all. I mean, these are academics. These are independent thinkers. These are scholars. These are great guys. I know the people. I know the organizers. I know the caliber of men going to this event, and they'd all be welcome in my home. In fact, Richard Spencer set up, of course, the very famous event at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., where I spoke and had a great time. That was back a couple of years ago. But, you know, no other group of people would allow their basic freedoms to be violated like this. And it's good to know that the organizers of this event, Bill Regnery, Richard Spencer, I don't want to say it's good that they went to jail, but folks, they took a stand, a real stand in real life. You know, we've been doing it here on the radio, but I mean, I've never been arrested for this. I mean, certainly I've never done anything illegal. Neither have they. I certainly have thoughts that, you know, I believe marriage should be between a man and a woman. That'll probably get us thrown in jail one day. Just something as simple as that. You'll go to jail for that one day in this country if things don't change. Well, they're taking a stand, and Richard wrote that when you rip out a man's tongue, you're not proving him a liar. You're only telling the world you fear what he might say. But the hotel in Budapest, Hungary. This event had been publicly planned for a year. It had drawn, listen, I mean, some of the most accomplished political theorists in Russia were going to be here. Alexander Dugin, who directly influenced Vladimir Putin, was one of the main speakers. And it's one thing for radical, left-wing, white-hating groups to show up and do their silly little protest and call the hotels and try to scare them into canceling the contract, which, again, wasn't that what the civil rights movement was all about, the freedom to eat at a lunch counter if you wanted to, or to book a hotel room wherever you wanted to? You know, when you're having legally binding contracts arbitrarily canceled and illegally canceled because of the way you think, I mean, is that the kind of world you want to live in? But the hotel canceled all of the rooms for the attendees of this particular conference. And listen to this. I just couldn't get over this Orwellian doublespeak. The venue that was to host this event, the Lauris Conference Center, canceled its contract with the organizers and closed down, went completely dark for the weekend. They weren't open for business for anyone. They just completely shut the doors and turned off the lights. And listen to what they said. They said, the ideology of the planned event, quote, doesn't meet our goal to ensure the civil liberties to the right of assembly for democratic individuals. I want to repeat what was said there, folks. I mean, how Orwellian can you get? The venue said, and I quote, their goal is to ensure the civil liberties and the right to assembly for democratic organizations and individuals. They want to ensure the civil liberties to the right of free assembly by what? By violating the civil liberties and the right to assembly of those who were scheduled to attend this conference put on by a very well-respected American organization? I mean, Richard Spencer was the editor of the American Conservative, for God's sake. Bill Regnery of Regnery Publishing. I mean, how much more mainstream can you possibly get? Sure, they believe that white people ought to have a chance to survive. Maybe they believe that Muslim immigration, you know, this savage rapes that are afflicting European women at the hand of Muslims, that they, you know, maybe that's not something that's in the best interest of our people. So maybe they want to meet and talk about those things. Are we not allowed to have a dissident opinion in our countries? These are our nations. They're not going to Mecca and trying to pull this. This is Hungary, a first world country, a European country. Well, I wish we could get a hold of Paul Fromm. I pray nothing has befallen him. I pray he's not in shackles. I had confirmation with Paul just a few hours ago that he would be calling in come hell or high water. And we don't have him. I don't know. These are dark days, ladies and gentlemen, and it just goes to show why organizations like the political cesspool are so needed. Again, if it was a group of homosexuals or Jews or Muslims that were meeting in any country in the world, and because of their beliefs or because of who they were, they had their contract violated, they had their hotel room reservations canceled, they were arrested for merely trying to enter a country, detained, deported, or worse. We don't know everything that's happened yet. It would have been wall-to-wall news coverage on every major network in this country and in every major news network in Europe. You have not heard anything about this. Well, yeah, you have. I mean, there has been some Fox News reports. There has been some CNN, some ABC, some CBS. This actually has made news. And you know what it said? A group of white supremacists, a group of extremists have been banned from Hungary, as if that was a good thing, as if Hungary took a courageous stand here. Well, again, and it should go without saying, these guys are nothing of the sort. These are great men. These are accomplished men. These are intellectuals, academics, scholars. And this is what happens. And it'll happen to you, and it'll happen to anybody else who has a shred of decency or common sense or even the smallest bit of courage to speak out and to stand for our people and to merely question what we have been told, that this unbridled invasion in Europe from the Muslim countries, here from the third world countries in Central and South America, that these are good things for our people, to even question that, to even debate that, which is all these people were there to do, to have a conversation, to exchange ideas, politely, I might add, you get arrested for that. I can't wait to hear Sam Dixon's take on this matter. And I hope I am presenting this to you. I mean, it's hard to do it dispassionately, but I hope I'm presenting the facts to you in a way that's level-headed and even keeled. I don't want to be too dramatic. I don't want to be too sensational. I don't think you could possibly go over the top when talking about an issue like this, when you're talking about people that are suffering this type of oppression for merely having ideas. I mean, this was the kind of stuff that happened in the Bolshevik-run, the Jewish-dominated Soviet Union. I guess Richard and the other guys should be lucky that they didn't just put a bullet in the back of his head as soon as they found him. That's certainly what the Stalinists would have done. But how much further are we away from that if things like this are allowed to occur? It's a slippery slope. You know, if you start criminalizing thought, what's to say that the punishment isn't jailing or deportation, that it's death? Richard Spencer, emailed with Richard about 2 days ago, and if he is released, or if he is back in this country by next Saturday, he's going to be on our show. I just don't think, though, ladies and gentlemen, that I can over-exaggerate the significance of what has happened. You know, I've been a part of conferences here in the United States that have been canceled, but I've never been arrested for these beliefs. But I would, if it came to it. I'm not talking. I'm not blowing smoke. I'd do it. And I wouldn't think twice about it. And the people over there who have suffered this are heroes. Hopefully they're opening the doors for resistance. We'll be back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina,
Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I should also add, and I'll transition briefly away from this topic, and we'll get back on it in the second hour when we can hook up with Sam Dixon. That's presuming that Paul Fromm isn't able to connect, and so far we haven't been able to reach Paul or vice versa. But we do have video, actually. We don't have video of Richard being let out in cuffs, but we do have a video of this police raid on this private dinner. I mean, it's a handful of people that were able to slip through the Iron Curtain, I guess, and get into Hungary. And they were meeting at a restaurant, very civilly, sitting down. And then police come in, dozens of police, it looks like, a couple of dozen policemen. And they start harassing these people who were just there having a private dinner. It wasn't an official conference function. It was just... telling you folks, it's scary stuff. You can see Richard here, you know, perplexed and flabbergasted, but looking dapper, as he always does, as the police sweat him down. And Paul Fromm had also emailed me last night in requesting to be on this show during the first hour, saying that an alternate location was later infiltrated by 50 what he called anti-white terrorists. I don't have independent confirmation of any of this above and beyond what I've seen and what I've read. We will try to figure it out, and if it doesn't happen tonight, certainly we'll talk about this thing in widescreen, if you will, with Sam Dixon. You know, just off. You know, he wasn't there, but we'll be getting his take on this. But we'll get some eyewitnesses on the show next week. We promise you that. And, you know, again, if it had been, you know, the problems that Muslim immigration is causing across Europe in terms of rape and just everything else that third world immigration causes, if they had been meeting, let me tell you this, and this is no joke, if Muslims had been meeting in Budapest with a conference that was publicly advertised that the topic of the conference was going to be the overthrow of Europe or the reclamation of Europe or the next crusade, you know, how the Muslims were going to conquer Europe, not only would they have been allowed to meet under certain circumstances, they would have probably been received by the Russian Hungarian prime minister himself. They would have had red carpet treatment. I mean, here in America, you have La Raza. Groups of La Raza, the race, the Reconquista. You know, they meet here in America, and it's great. You know, they don't get shut down like Jared Taylor. You know, a Yale graduate. They don't get shut down like his conferences do, or did, until he started meeting in government facilities. And here in the United States, you can still get away with that for now. And in the meantime, of course, these people are the problem. Our people that see the problems as we see them are the problem. You know, to think that, you know, it's probably not a good thing that now in the city of Memphis, Tennessee, police officers are having to be assigned to ride MATA buses. That's the Memphis Area Transit Authority. Police officers are having to ride on these buses because the blacks in Memphis are so unruly now that it's almost like taking your life in your hands to get on a public bus. Just in the last month alone, of course, we had the the race riot at Kroger, where a mob of black teenagers, you know, nearly beat to death a couple of young white Kroger employees. A week later, after a football game at an all-black high school, blacks were leaving the football game here in Memphis. Hundreds of them got in the middle of the street. Cars had to stop, of course. Traffic had to stop because there's so many blacks in the street. And you know what they did? I mean, this was all over the news here in Memphis. I'm not embellishing this at all. They pulled people out of the cars, beat them, robbed them, did whatever they wanted to. Hey, I don't think that's a good thing. You going to arrest me for that? You know, that's what's going on over in Budapest. You know, we think that these things, you know, maybe it isn't a good idea that we have this forced integration. It isn't a good idea to have people with you know, totally different cultures and beliefs and rules of law and ways of life, to put them together in the same living space. Maybe we should at least present the question as to whether or not it's in the best interest of not just our people, but everyone, that these things happen. But yeah, here in Memphis, so, well, I'll read it. The Memphis Police Department is assigning officers to ride city buses to help control what they call unruly juveniles. We know what that means. After school for the next several weeks. So these kids are getting on the MATA buses. These aren't school buses, but they're getting on the MATA buses. And when other people get on, they rob them, they harass them, they beat them. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And everybody knows that diversity ruined public transportation decades ago. But this is just another example. This is what's going on. And Barack Obama, you know, Colin Flaherty wrote one of the most incredible articles. I saw some utter nonsense from Salon Magazine saying that black-on-white violence and black mobs are a figment of white racist imagination. Well, every week, Colin Flaherty has no less than several dozen examples from cities across the country that is enriched with diversity. Where it happens. It happens every day. It happens several times a day. And you can't even keep up with them all. It happens so often you just become numb to it. And you just accept it as a regular occurrence in this multicultural hellhole that America has devolved into. But Obama told the Black Caucus last week, and Pat Buchanan wrote a great article about this. We'll get Keith Alexander's take on this a little bit later, but he told the Black Caucus last week that black people continue to be the victims of relentless racism. So it's racism to notice the way a significant percentage of that community behaves and to want to steer clear of it. That's racist. But at the exact moment the president was delivering his speech, actual black-on-white racial violence was flaring across the country, as Colin Flaherty explains. Colin writes for WorldNet Daily, and Colin's been on this show, and he's done as much as anybody to present the facts on this thing. But no matter how hard the president tries to persuade the country that black people are the real victims of racial violence, black people will just not cooperate, Colin Flaherty writes. Saturday night, the president was telling members of the Congressional Black Caucus how police are constantly picking on black people for no reason whatsoever. And this racial disparity means that police have to change, arresting fewer black people for starters, or arresting more white people. At almost the exact moment the president was repeating this standard litany of racial grievance, two black people in Ferguson shot at a cop. Did you hear about that? I mean, you certainly hear about a cop in Ferguson protecting himself and defending his life after having his eye socket, you know, busted in. But you don't hear about this. They didn't appreciate it when the cop found them burglarizing a business. To some, the fact that black violent crime is wildly out of proportion might disrupt the president's carefully crafted gospel of grievance. But to this crowd, it was just easily explained. It's sick. At the exact same time the president was hitting his stride about how black people are the relentless victims of racism, members of a neighborhood group in North Minneapolis were struggling with the opposite problem on their Facebook page. A friend and I were leaving Fair State Brewing Company around 9:30 tonight, and both were assaulted by a group of 5 to 6 black men. We got away with more than 1 to 2 punches each, and police quickly arrived to make a report. But that's all that happened. I mean, you know, and that you know, so they're leaving this restaurant. They get attacked. They get punched a little bit. No big deal, because it happens so much. And so we talk about these things. And are we condemning every person in America who is black? No, no, obviously not all of them take part in this. But it is so wildly out of control. And blacks commit such a insanely disproportionate amount of crimes with relation to their percentage of the population that you would just have to be an idiot not to see it. And to not be leery of that element of our population. And certainly that's a travesty to the law-abiding, God-fearing, tax-paying, hard-working black people that there are out there. But unfortunately, until some of those black people ascend into leadership of the black community, instead of shakedown artists like Jackson and Sharpton and Barack Obama and Eric Holder, you're never going to have any racial accord. The tensions are only going to grow more and more. And I'm telling you, blacks truly feel as though any act of violence against a white person is justified. For whatever reason or no reason at all, they don't care. Thank God for Colin Flaherty, though. I couldn't possibly read his entire article. But it goes to show that first world nations like Japan and Dresden, Germany, they can recover from atomic bombings, but not from diversity. And we won't survive it either unless law and order is restored and we all live under the same set of rules. We'll be back right after this.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more time, All right, everybody, wrapping up the first hour here, and then we're going to try to connect with Keith Alexander. Keith is barreling hardcore north towards Memphis from Mississippi. Keith should be here at the studio in not too much longer, we hope, but as he drives, we will attempt to connect to him via telephone until he can get here and join me on mic number two here. But as we wait for that to occur, we do have Paul Fromm on the line in Budapest, Hungary. Paul Fromm, thank you so much for staying up. I realize it's nearly 2 a.m. in the morning where you are, and I'm pleased to know that you aren't in bondage. And I apologize for the difficulties we had in reaching you tonight. How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty well, thanks. And it was an extremely successful event today. Richard Spencer, who organized it for the National Policy Institute, was arrested at a pub last night. There were about 50 of us there. 30 people were detained, put into police vehicles, taken away, in some cases taken to their hotels to produce passports. They were all released, but Mr. Richard Spencer has not been seen since. The government has
Wow. Vowed
to shut the conference down, and they had gotten the hotel where people had registered through the conference to cancel the reservations. They had gotten the original conference hall canceled. They got the French police to contact, they got the Hungarian police to contact the French police, and the French police told one of the planned participants, he's a writer and an activist, that if he showed up, he would be arrested because he is a notorious racial activist. This is Philippe Bardon. And this is utterly illegal because France and Hungary are both members of what's called the Schengen Accord, which means that people can move freely from one member of that country, that accord, to another. In Europe, you can move freely, let's say from France to Hungary or France to Italy. You don't need a passport, and short of having committed a crime, they can't throw you out. Bill Regnery, who's the founder of the National Policy Institute, flew into Budapest on Wednesday, I believe, and was turned back at the airport. In fact, he was jailed overnight and then deported, I believe, back to Britain. It's like communist era repression. But
Paul,
managed to pull it off. We had a dinner tonight, and the way it was described was it was not a conference. It's a dinner, and following the French tradition, dîner et débat. So dinner and short after-dinner speeches. So Jared Taylor spoke very, very emotionally, very, very well, and Tom Sunak gave her a brief comment.
Jared Taylor, Paul Fromm, Tom Sunich, Bill Regnery, Richard Spencer, all of these men and others who have assembled there, I know personally, I know well. These are good men. They have been on this program multiple times over the years, spanning back a decade on this show. And to hear Paul Fromm give this eyewitness testimony, folks, is absolutely stirring. Paul, so you have confirmed that not only was Richard Spencer arrested and jailed, but he has not been seen since. We have no idea how Richard is doing. It's been roughly 24 hours, I would guess, since his arrest, or a little bit more than that now.
A bit more. We thought if he had been deported immediately, or by today, that he would have wherever he was, he would have access to a computer, and we would have heard. But we've heard nothing, I don't mean personally. I know the organizers, the key people like Jared Taylor and others have heard nothing. There's been nothing on the internet. So while we're trying to find him, we assume he's still in jail. And we guess, and I have to stress this is a guess, that he's being held and they will release him probably on tomorrow, on Monday, when the conference is over. Of course, this is utterly illegal. He's an American citizen. He kept asking, well, what am I charged with? Or, well, what have I done? and they wouldn't answer. Now, the police at times pretended not to speak any language other than Hungarian, but we know they did. And on other occasions, I once asked, can I go to the washroom? I was told, yes, that's okay. Others were told in English, you can't leave. So we know they were playing games. We know they were quite shocked. They showed up 50 strong at this pub, small pub. They blocked the back entrance or the exit into the alley. They blocked the front. There were at least three large vehicles, almost the size of a bus, I guess, to haul us away.
Paul, one second, my friend. I hate to interrupt you, but I know we have a distressed connection, and we're connecting with you all the way over in Eastern Europe right now. You're popping. You're coming in a little bit hot. Could you back away just a tad from your mic and see if that helps? I mean, we're hearing you loud and clear, but a little bit too loud, if you know what I mean.
Is this any better?
That seemed to be a little bit better. But so you're telling us what has occurred here. I'd like for you to quickly back up, and this is – I've been doing this show for 10 years, and I'm trying, and I've said this earlier in the program tonight, I am trying to be as level-headed in my assessment and presentation of this story. I don't want to just, you know, over-exaggerate the significance of this, but I'm not sure if it's even possible. You're talking about the arrest of American citizens who were on vacation, essentially, in Hungary to exchange ideas and to meet, and everything was done legally, as you mentioned. But tell us in your own words, Paul, what was it that the NPI conference had intended to do that was so scary, that caused the gauntlet to fall as it did, that caused the guillotine to drop as it did? What was it that these scholars and academics were meeting to discuss that caused them so much suffering? What was the purpose of the NPI conference is what I'm asking.
You know, it's a little hard to actually pin that down. It was a conference to discuss the European Union. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? To discuss the preservation of Europeans as a people. The extended Europeans. We in North America, of course, are an extension of Europe, as is South Africa and Australia, New Zealand, and European man has spread in many parts of across the world and has brought its civilization with him. But because of mass immigration organized from the top, we are becoming imperiled certainly in North America, but in the European homelands. And part of what it was discussed.
Pat Buchanan himself has written at least two books on this subject about the declining demographics of Europe, how we're not reaching replacement level fertility, and if that continues over the course of a couple of hundred years, well, obviously you're going to have you're going to be reaching extinction level fertility, and so this conference was being held in Europe to discuss these things. Very civilly. Paul, I got a question for you. I want to ask you this very quickly, and if at all possible, maybe we can keep you into the second hour when Sam Dixon joins us, but I want to ask you this. You have a higher profile. Jared Taylor has a higher profile as anyone that was there. Why were you and Jared not arrested?
Well, in the case of Jared was not at the gathering Friday night.
You mean the private dinner that we have video of on our website?
Well, yeah, it was basically just a meeting at the pub, a gathering at the pub. It wasn't even a meeting as such. People going to the conference gathered there and, would get together, go from table to table, drink. I mean, they'd behave as people normally would do in a pub. I've got to emphasize that people were very, very well behaved. When the police arrived, people who observed them said that they looked really shocked. We think that they expected a group of sort of football hooligans, boots and braces and tattoos all over the place, looking for a fight. The police, had big nightsticks. They were big guys too. It wasn't an affirmative action police force, as in parts of North America. These guys
it looked as though they meant business. And we guessed that they were the victims of propaganda from their superiors, that they really thought they were going to see the Nazis, I think. And they seemed quite surprised. Whatever they had initially planned to do then became, well, we're here to check identification. And one.
So they expected, you think that they expected to come in and see the caricature that is always.
Yes.
Recklessly given to us, you know, the caricature of a Nazi or a tattooed skinhead with swastikas on the forehead. You think that because of all the lies and the distortion that had been in the media leading up to this event, they expected to see the worst, and when they walk in and see, you know, again, I've used these adjectives two or three times just to reiterate my point, but scholars and academics and well-dressed and well-behaved intellectuals, you know, meeting and talking and behaving well even in a pub, that it surprised them. Paul, listen. I don't know how you were connected. I'll let you talk with my producer. If we could carry you over, I know it's 2 a.m. where you're at, and I know you're tired. If we could carry you over into the next hour when Sam Dixon joins us, I think it would make for an incredible conversation. But I'll leave it to your decision. But we got to take a break right now, and we'll be right back, everybody.
There's more to come
right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.